Great to be with you, and I trust that God will bless us as we look at His Word together. I'd like to pray for us before I do. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the things that we've already thought about this morning. We thank you so much for all your good gifts to us, Lord, and we've just remembered, Lord, the joy that you give to us, Lord, in knowing you, just knowing you. And we want to say, Lord, we are so grateful for what you've done in our lives. And we open up our lives to you again just now, Lord, as we come to look at your word and to think about it. It's very simple. But Lord, we just want to pray that you will touch our hearts, Father. I know we're going to look at things over these weeks that we've looked at so many times. I pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, these things will come with a freshness to us. So I want to pray, Lord, for every person that's joined with us here this morning. Lord, would you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit, please? Would you, Lord, open up to us these wonderful truths again? And would you, by your Spirit, touch our hearts, Lord, and teach us how we should respond to what we read in your word? So, Father, we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's great, isn't it? It's good. It's good here. So this is the second Sunday in Advent, and we continue to look towards Christmas and the climax of our celebration of the coming of our Saviour, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. And for many of us, his coming into our lives. As you will have gathered by now, we are tying these Advent talks into John chapter 14, part of what we're calling Jesus's team talk. Some of his last words to his disciples before he left them. So as we prepare our hearts to remember his coming, he is also doing a work of preparation in us, I hope, I trust, as we look at his words together, that he's doing a work in us, speaking words of peace and hope and love into our lives to comfort and encourage us. In fact, you know, that word comfort that we read at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40, comfort my people. That, you know, that word comfort means with strength. That's what it's talking about. It's not God saying there. It's God encouraging us, putting courage and strength into us. So the two passages that we've already read this morning will be quite familiar to most of us, in part at least, that passage in Isaiah 40 and in Luke chapter 1. And I have one more passage of scripture to read to you, which is, unsurprisingly, in John chapter 14. Just want to read verses 5 to 8 to you. So in John chapter 14 and verse 5, Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now, if you give some thought to this, you might notice that in that passage in Isaiah 40 and that passage that I've just read, and what we read of Mary's song, the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1, there's a common thread that runs through these three passages of God's word. The first, what we see first of all, is in Isaiah chapter 40. In that chapter, we read how the prophet is foretelling the coming of one who would make a way in the desert and the wilderness and across the mountains and through the valleys. And we know that John the Baptist picked up that same theme when he announced the entry of Jesus into his 3 years of public ministry. Now, there's a certain degree in which that actually was true, because when the Romans invaded Israel, they built straight roads through the country. So, it was wonderful timing of the Romans to do that, because it made later on the spread of the gospel much easier through that part of the world and into Europe. But I think primarily the prophecy was more to do with, it was more spiritual, if you like, and what he was describing in chapter 40. It's not primarily a physical or geographical way through deserts and hills. It's a way of describing God's promise of one who would come and make a clear way through the spiritual wastelands that we find ourselves in, due to the fact that we live in a world that is spiritually and morally broken. What a lovely line that was in that that song, The Humble King, where it talked about that he comes to the broken. He loves the broken. He loves this world that is spiritually and morally broken. He loves us so much that he came to make a way for us. So we see that promised way in Isaiah chapter 40. And then we see it fulfilled as we read just now in John chapter 14 and verses 5 to 8. There we read Thomas's question to Jesus near the beginning of his team talk. Jesus has just said to the disciples, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas immediately speaks up, probably on behalf of all the others in the room. And he says, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way to get there? Don't you just love the rawness of the disciples? I think they're great. You know, and I think they ask the questions that you and I would ask. I mean, I guess you could be awestruck, couldn't you, about anything that Jesus said, and don't dare question anything he says. But the disciples know him well enough to be able to say, hold on a minute. How can we get to the place where you're going? We haven't a clue where you're going. So how are we going to know the way? Later on in his talk, in chapter 14, later on, he says very clearly, I am going to the Father. And here in verse 6 of chapter 14, he's saying, and I'm making a way for you to come to the Father. And we know from much of what Jesus teaches that he is not only talking about what happens after we die, he's talking about coming to the Father now, coming to God as our Father now, this side of death. The promise in Isaiah chapter 40 is of a way through the desert, through the wilderness, or what Isaiah elsewhere calls darkness. He talks about thick darkness, the people who walked in darkness. It's a picture. These are pictures, desert, wilderness. They're pictures of a spiritual lostness, being separated from our Creator. Humanity is broken, lost. And we see the evidence and consequences of that all around us. And in our own lives too, at times, we can see the evidence of broken humanity. And Jesus, the promised one, came to make a way for us through this life, through this life. He brought hope and peace, love, here and now, and then eventually with him for eternity. It's a wonderful thing when a man or woman or boy or girl comes to this glorious realization that Jesus is the way. He's the truth about mankind and about God, and he's the life. He's the key to life as God intended it to be. And he is the way to that. And we should notice that he's not saying, I'll show you the way, or I'll give you a route map to follow. No, he's saying, I am the way. What you need in your life is me, not just a book, not just a route map, not just instructions. What you need is me, not just a religion. You need me in your life. Now, when I was praying early this morning about today, and I just felt God put something on my heart that I needed to say this morning. And this may be applicable to one or more people, but I felt like God wanted to say that somebody, maybe you, feel like you're in a spiritual wasteland, in a spiritual wilderness. So there's a degree of lostness that you're feeling at the moment. And I think God wanted to tell you that he knows that. He knows that. And what he wants to say to you is, I am the way. I'm the way. Where you're looking for an answer to how you feel, how things seem to you, he just wants to impress upon you again this morning that he is the way. And what he wants us to do is simply to embrace him again. Just forget all the other stuff. Forget all the religious stuff. Forget all the busyness and churchy stuff. What he wants is for you to know him and to come to him and pour out your heart to him. Tell him about how you feel about this wasteland, wilderness feeling. In the next chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and when we eventually get to that, God willing, in January, we see that Jesus wants us to come close to him and stay close to him, to abide in him, to remain in him. He's talking about a personal relationship, and he promises to be with us through the desert, through the wilderness, a light in the darkness, a way in the wilderness. And then we read in Luke chapter 1 that Mary was told that this way was going to come into the world through her, physically and actually. And that knowledge caused her to burst into a song of praise. And in her song of praise, Mary, if you look through that prayer that's called the Magnificat sometimes, in her song of praise, Mary declares the wonderful fact that the creator of the world has, down through the centuries, been mindful of mankind's predicament and lostness, and has over and over again, out of mercy and undeserved favor, stepped into the affairs of mankind and intervened. And now, she says, he's doing it again. He's stepping in again, but this time in the most uniquely remarkable, miraculous, supernatural intervention in the history of this planet. He is about to come into the world as a human being and not only lead the way and make a way, but actually be the way for all mankind to come and experience life as God intended, with him as our Father, and experiencing peace, hope, joy as a consequence. So, just to wrap this up then, on this second week of Advent, how are you going to prepare yourself? How are you going to ask God to prepare you for the celebration of Jesus's birth? And more importantly, for him to prepare you to encounter him in your life now and for eternity. He has come to us so that we can come to him. He has come to make a way and be the way for us to know God as our Father. Now, I don't know everybody here this morning personally, but I just want to, just in case you've never come to him, I want to ask you, will you come to him, the one who's the way, the truth, and the life? And if you already come to him and you say, Chris, you don't need to tell us this, we've heard this stuff before, I just feel very clearly that God wants to say to you, me, us, his people, I am the way, come to me, just come to me and give yourself afresh to me. So I'd like to pray that for us, and then we're going to sing a song about the deep, deep love of God for us. I just want to pray for us first, though. Will you pray with me, please? Father, you know our hearts. You know our lives. We want to say, Lord, some of us, Lord, you came to us, you came into our lives years and years ago. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you that, Lord, you have led us in a way that we couldn't possibly have imagined before. But you've come into our lives and you've been the way, and you continue to be the way for us. We want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into the world to be the way for us. Thank you that you are with us as we go through life. And Lord, we pray for those who feel at the moment, feel a certain lostness and feel in a bit of a wasteland, a wilderness. I just want to pray, Lord, for each one that we might know, that we might know you, embrace you afresh, and feel that warmth of your spirit filling us and reminding us that we belong to you and that you're with us. And Lord, we pray that as we come to you in this season of coming, celebrating your coming, Lord, we celebrate also the fact that we can come to you. And we pray for you to bless us again today with that wonderful realization. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.